Ludwig.
Good morning, Wagner.
And how are you this morning, Johann Sebastian?
Quite well, thank you.
Have you heard what happened yesterday at the investigation?
Please, Johann, no politics. Our little club is devoted solely to music.
Shall we try the new quartet?
Chopin is not here yet.
Yes, I'm afraid he will not be coming here anymore.
Why not?
I have taken the liberty to ask him to resign.
How could you do such a thing, Richard? We have played with Frederick for ages.
I hated doing it. He is a fine musician, but we must be realistic. There have been certain rumors about Frederick. I don't believe them, of course, but in his youth he had certain political tendencies. And even some of the titles of his compositions, like the Revolutionary Etude. Well, I thought it would be safer not to be associated, you know, just until this blows over. And now, the quartet.
How can we play the quartet? There are only three of us.
I have invited someone to take Chopin's place. A fine pianist, a great musician.
Oh, Liszt?
No. He was a friend of Chopin.
Schubert?
Oh, no. He was a friend of Liszt.
Then whom did you invite?
Otto Schmink.
Otto Schmink? I have never heard of him.
That is exactly why I have chosen him. No one has ever heard of him.
Pardon me, sir. That door is locked.
But this is my laboratory. It has never been locked before.
Sorry, sir. Orders.
But I'm engaged in important research.
My orders are that you are to be refused admittance.
Why?
You're a security risk. I'm sorry, Mr. Galileo.
But my research project...
That has been taken over by someone else.
Taken over? By whom?
Professor Schmink.
Oh, blithe newcomer, I have heard. I hear thee and rejoice, O cuckoo. Shall I call thee bird, or but a wandering voice?
May I express our gratitude to you, Mr. Wordsworth, for gracing our poet's circle tonight. And now, we are privileged to hear some new poems by the author Percy Bysshe Shelley, one of our most distinguished...
Tennyson, no.
Your pardon, one moment. Yes, what is it, Coleridge?
Haven't they told you about Shelley?
No.
He has been under suspicion for some time now, and the committee says
he's badly spurred. Dear me, I didn't know.
Yes, it would be impossible for him to be here.
Yes, of course it was. Yes, of course, I see the necessity. ladies and gentlemen, I regret to announce that Mr. Shelley will not be with us tonight. In fact, Mr. Shelley has been dropped from membership in the poet's circle. May I also say at this time that any opinions expressed by Mr. Shelley in the course of his association with our circle did not reflect the views of the other members. Now then... To continue, in Mr. Shelley's place, we shall hear a newcomer to our circle, the distinguished and inspired poet, Mr. Schmink.
Galileo.
Percy Bysshe Shelley.
Section 28A, Article 4B, Paragraph 2.
Frederick Chopin.
Internal security regulations.
Ludwig van Beethoven.
An officer of the Immigration Service.
Johann Sebastian Bach.
From up here.
Richard Wagner.
Down there.
Otto Schmink.
Is that you, Otto?
Yes.
Oh, come in.
Well, I must talk to you.
I've just been going over the list of tomorrow's witnesses. Oh. Small potatoes. Oh. Can't we jazz the hearing up with a few names? I don't want them to think we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Oh. What's the matter with you, Oates?
Someone you will see.
Who?
I'd rather not mention any names.
Mystery witness, eh? All right, bring him in.
No, you must go to him.
What? Are you kidding?
I assure you, the matter is most urgent.
Oh, all right, I'll take your word for it. This guy better be important.
Believe me, he is. Come, just outside the main gate.
You're late, Oates. You know I don't like to be kept waiting, you stupid oaf.
Now, just a minute. Just a minute here. Mr. Oates is a member of my staff. I will not have a member of my staff spoken to in that fashion. I don't care who you are.
You don't?
Oh, I see. Oates, we must watch what we say. How do we know this conversation isn't being recorded?
You have my word of honor as one gentleman to another.
What do you want?
You must stop these investigations.
Are you giving me orders? Apparently you have some hold over Oates, but you're not running my committee. If you think you can put pressure on me...
Stop this orgy of deportation. Stop sending those crackpot reformers down there.
I will make no deal.
But you don't know what's been going on. Jefferson and Milton are calling for a Congress. Martin Luther and John Stuart Mill are making speeches about the rights of the damned. Cromwell and William Lyon Mackenzie have recruited a lost souls militia. That madman Socrates keeps asking me if I know what virtue is. Me! And that lunatic Karl Marx.
Which Karl Marx?
How should I know? There are hundreds of them all over the place. Remember those pamphlets you handed them at their hearings? They took them with them when they got deported. They printed thousands of copies. And you know what their slogan is? Workers of the underworld, unite. You have nowhere to go but up. Now they've gone and organized a union. And they have the gall to want me to negotiate with them. Before I do that, I'll see them in... I can't cope with it. Stop the investigations. You're bungling it. There are ways of doing these things.
Are you criticizing my methods?
At first, they didn't take you seriously. Good. Then they began to be frightened. Good. They kept their opinions to themselves. Good. They stopped joining clubs. Good. They informed on their friends. Good. But you went on and on and on. Now they're beginning to ask themselves, maybe I'm next. Where will it lead to?
Nowhere. After my next hearings, they won't dare open their mouths. When I started, I said that I wouldn't rest until I had fixed the responsibility for thousands of years of treason. Certain personal investigations I've made have led me to an inescapable conclusion. Oates, you will issue the subpoena immediately.
For whom?
Who do you think? The chief. The chairman of this committee, I will decide who is to be investigated.
But you should have consulted the members of the committee before
the subpoena has already been issued.
You must quash it.
There is no point in further discussion.
There is still time.
The subpoena will not be quashed.
This is madness.
You cannot investigate this.
You've gone too far.
There is no one so high as to be immune from investigation where there's the slightest...
The chief is the supreme power.
There is no greater power.
This committee is a greater power. I am a greater power.
But he is the chief.
No, I am the chief. I am the chief. I am the chief. I am the chief.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Martin. Lovely morning, isn't it?
Beautiful. Glad to see you back on the job, sir.
Thank you, Martin. It's good to be back. Well, it's all over and done with. Now we've got to look ahead. We're going to have our work cut out for us. All these people to be relocated. Oh, dear, when I think of the paperwork alone. Oh, Martin. I have an interesting assignment for you. I think you're going to enjoy it.
A relocation?
No, a deportation.
I see.
Here's the file, and let us hope this is the last deportation we shall ever have.
This way. Come along now.
I'm the chief.
Just follow me.
Answer the question. Let me
take
finish,
it
please.
Easy. That's right. I know
I'm
this.
I'm the chief.
Now, come
I'm
along.
The chief.
Just a little.
That's some question. Just answer yes or no. Strike that. Now there.
Ah, I was expecting you, Inspector Martin.
Point of order.
And your charge.
Pursuant to Section 28A, Article 4B, Paragraph 2 of the Internal Security Regulations, I now hand over to you rejected applicant number 578293B021. That is all.
And the chief?
Not quite, Inspector. I now inform you that I refuse entry to the applicant.
You refuse? But you can't refuse.
I can, and I do refuse. I have certain rights, too, you know. You must give me my due, as the saying goes.
But you've never refused before.
That is true. In the past, I invariably prepared a warm welcome for rejected applicants.
Treason.
A very warm welcome. But I will not have him set foot on my territory. That is final.
But I can't go back with him. What am I going to do?
May I suggest you look up Article 35C, Paragraph 4A.
Article 35C.
Chairman.
Paragraph 4A.
That's right.
Here it is. In the event that rejected applicant is refused entry down there after deportation, the inspector in charge is required to return said applicant to his place of origin at the point where applicant first crossed the border.
And chief.
Exactly.
It's incredible, Doctor.
Those are the facts, Mr. Garson.
He was the only survivor?
No doubt about it. Are you a close friend, Mr. Garson?
Yes, I am.
I think you ought to know, Mr. Garson. The crash seems to have affected his mind.
Well, after all, the shock.
It's a little more complicated than that, I'm afraid. He keeps babbling about being the chief and something about no one being too high and phrases like up here and down there. Completely irrational.
But he isn't violent?
Oh, no, quite docile.
This condition is temporary?
It's hard to say.
Well, at least his life was spared.
Mr. Garson, the plane crashed on top of a mountain, thousands of feet high. Yet he was found wandering about at the foot of the mountain.
Well, what of it?
The authorities say it's absolutely impossible for any human being to get down that mountain in the dark by himself.
It was an act of God, Doctor. An act of God.
Stage 54, item 35, The Investigator, a new play by Reuben Ship, was produced and directed by Andrew Allen, with music composed and conducted by Lucio Agostini. The Investigator was played by John Draney. The other people were Linda Ballantyne, Larry McCants, Fred D.L., Eric Christmas, James Doohan, Barry Morse, Alan King, Tommy Tweed, Frank Petty, Richard Gilbert, Bud Knapp, Howard Milsom, Gerard Saracini, John Colacos, and Paul Kligman. Sound effects, David Tasker. Technical operation, Andrew Stewart.